You guys, this week's episode of Fungula is so good. I'm so excited about our guest, Leo Gonzalez. He's one of the funniest people on the planet. Not just like funny, like ba-dum-tsh, like has good punchlines. He is a natural communicator. Like, he is someone who can mimic the human race so accurately that you can't help but laugh. He is so good. He's so talented. I first saw his videos when my family and I, we would send them back and forth to each other. And he's on TikTok and Instagram. He has like 4 million followers on those platforms. He's so good, so funny. And his very funny performances have gotten him some recognition, some accolades. It's earned him a Streamy Award for writing. He had an appearance in Just for Laughs as New Faces creator, Rolling Stone, LA Times, Fortune Magazine. He was on season 2 of Hulu's This Fool. I don't know if you guys ever saw that show. It's so funny. Such a good show. And he's on season 2 of that show. Leo's hilarious, and he's also very deep and very real, and we talk about his gratitude for where he's at in life, from where he came from. We share a matitude of news reporter actors, people who are pretending to be news reporters on TV shows, and they don't have the news reporter voice. We talk about that. We get into it, you guys. So tune into this episode. It's a really good one, and I mean, you already are tuning in. That's why you're here listening. Also, if you want to come see me live on the road, my next shows are Lincoln, California, Rancho Mirage, California, Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm pretty sure all of those shows are sold out already. She's kind of a big deal. But you can go to my website, angela.com, and check to see when I'm coming to a city near you and when I still have tickets, and grab those tickets before they sell out. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. This is the next episode of Fungula. I was waiting for your news reporter voice to come in.
Oh, I thought, I was like,
is he going to go?
All right, ready?
No, that was it. In 5, 4.
Good evening. Imagine if it's just like really like, we start things off with breaking news tonight. I love when they
you're
do.
You're so good at that one.
No.
Here's the thing. That's how I first, the videos that I first saw of you that really made me go stop was your news reporter stuff, you being flirty customer service. Oh. Flirty customer service is probably my fave. And then your anytime you go into like pastor mode.
Mm.
Oh, those ones got me every single time.
Just so much diverse, just so many potential. You know, because I wanted it to be like if Lauren Michaels ever goes on my feed, I want it to be like, oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
Oh, he can do
everything. So good.
Tina, get in here.
Uh-huh.
I wanted that.
Yep. That's what, and you've got it. It's there. Oh, your resume is like, let me tell you, just scroll. Everything's perfect.
You know, and I think that like I wanted it to be like, because I wanted to be a reporter. Did you know that?
I thought you wanted to be a youth pastor.
I used to be a youth worker.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I worked in the church for a long time. I'm not dumb. I'm 29. Yeah, in my 20s. Stupid. No. I mean, I started like as a kid volunteering, and then I was a counselor and stuff like that. But I studied journalism. I wanted to be like on air and doing stories. Have you ever watched the CBS Sunday Morning?
No.
Do you?
No.
I don't recall.
CBS Sunday Morning.
What do they play?
It's CBS News, you know, but their Sunday Morning one is just like feature. It's like a 15-minute interview.
No, I was at
with
church.
Someone. All right. There we are. YouTube, on YouTube.
Okay.
Anyways, I wanted to do those type, which are like the feel good stories.
Ah.
Like the 15 minutes, like some like a little kid in California sent a envelope to some troops. Uh-huh. That type of stuff.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to do those reports.
And you would be like in the field doing that or at the desk?
No, in the field.
Uh-huh, yeah.
In the field. But then I was like I kind of wanted to do like weather because I was like, I want to stay away from like people's business.
I have a question.
What happened?
Does it annoy you when you watch movies and they cast the news anchor or the person on the live in the field and they don't have news reporter voice.
Yes.
Pisses me off.
It's so annoying because it's like a lot of ABC stations, like they're already SAG.
Okay.
So just why don't you just get a real reporter, anything.
Yeah,
just cast somebody who can actually do it.
Yes.
You know what bothers me? Oh, you know what? Let's get into it.
We're jumping into the Mattitudes, you guys.
Because
this is the Mattitude right
here. What bothers me about movies that have a news reporter, I don't know if this is going to make sense to you, when it's like, when they're on TV, okay, so this is a scene. So we're in the movie right now, and we're watching the news. We're watching the screen, and then it zooms in from us to the TV screen, and it's the same shot. Does that make sense?
Okay, yeah, I'm
they're using the same shot of them outside, which is a side profile. So they're not even looking at the camera.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, doesn't make sense.
It like I'm like, what would it have costed to just do a version of the reporter looking right at the camera? You're just doing the... Uh-huh. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, they were like this, and then it zoomed out of them and zoomed out of the TV to us. And it's like...
Well, they spent the budget on the actual news reporter from ABC because he was SAG.
They didn't. They didn't. They should. Bro, when I joined SAG, I was like... Part of me was like, can I be a reporter now?
Yeah.
ABC? I was like, I want to do something. But that's why I do the skits still, because it still checks my box.
That's people, right.
Because the reporters be like, oh my gosh, you're coming for us. And I'm like, did you like it though? Like,
yeah.
How do you think I did?
Where was the
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so good. I just saw a show recently. I think it was Chicago PD, because I watch all those shows, Chicago PD, SWAT, Law and Order, those are all my jams.
If Dick Wolf did it, I'm a watch.
Bro, that's what I'm saying.
I'm a watch.
That's what I'm saying. I need that Dick Wolf hat that was going around for a while. It was like viral. It was like a dad hat, and it just said Dick Wolf. I need that hat.
The one that says like produced by or something. It's like the same tech. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I was watching one of those shows recently, and they had a news reporter actually doing news reporter voice. And I had to like pause, and my brother was sitting with me, and I was like, oh my God, they have an actual person who can do news reporter voice. Like, they're not just like a dumb actor who doesn't get the character. And I was really proud of that actor.
I love that. I love when they cast a good one, or when SNL does a reporter, and I'm like, oh, you actually are some. Because when SNL doesn't, I'm available to learn.
Uh-huh.
When SNL doesn't have one of them play a good reporter, I'm like, you, how is it like?
Right.
We've seen more news than almost anything, I feel like, in in our life.
Yeah.
Like, we should all, I think that's the funny part about it, is that it's like.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I want to hear your, like, give me your best news reporter voice.
Oh, you want to hear mine?
Yeah, right
go,
now.
Go.
Okay, hold on.
Oh my gosh.
Like, in the field news reporter or at the desk?
Oh, okay.
Because they're different, right?
You do.
Wait, Leo, you do in the field and you do at the desk.
Okay.
Set the scene.
What story? Okay. Is there a script?
Quick. Okay. Oh, do like an LA car chase. Those are my favorites.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Okay.
Or no, different? Yeah. Do we like it? Ready, car set?
Yeah, you're at the desk.
Okay, I'm at the desk. Okay, and then I'm going to toss you.
And then I'll be the producer. Okay, in 5, 4, 3.
Breaking news coming out of Van Nuys this evening. A wild police chase. We have one of our reporters on the scene. Let's go to Leo Gonzalez in the field. What are you seeing now?
Angela, a bunch of black and whites here coming through this area. You see oh my gosh, what does Chris Christie say?
Not Chris Christie, the real guy.
Yeah, he's the best. Like, you can see in the distance the night sun is there. It looks like at 2 to 3 people there. They look like they're about to abandon. They're going to be running out of steam pretty soon. People from,
we put you on the spot.
Officers from San Bernardino, CHP, are leaving now because, I don't know, Santa Clarita Division took over. So we're going to keep, I don't know, man.
As we can see, this is a serious situation. Our own Leo Gonzalez is so flustered by what is happening out in the field right now. This is a serious situation.
We'll keep you updated and give you more details as they become available. For now, we're live in Santa Clarita. Leo Gonzalez, ABC 7, Eyewitness News.
Yeah.
And commercial.
The delay blinks. Love the delay. Not in turn it off. Not in turn the mic off too.
I love reporters because they when they're on the field, they're like.
Uh-huh.
Because they love. Reporter, there's, because when it's a reporter on the field, that is their life.
They want you, like, to know that they are producer. They are sound man. They are everything.
They know that people are watching, and they're like, yeah, I know you've seen this logo before.
Yeah,
that one.
Uh-huh.
And I love when they're like, yeah, it's a, oh, sorry. Give me a second.
Hearing something really important that you're not a part of. 1 second.
Sorry, this is like four voices.
I like to imagine. But I like to imagine they're like, hey, you got something on your face. If you could just fix that. And they're like, got it.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just like something not important at all.
One last shout out to reporters. Did you see the one where it was recent during the Donald Trump trial and there was a man who set himself on fire outside? And there was a CNN reporter. She's like reporting something. Then all of a sudden this guy catches on fire over here and she is articulating exactly what's happening so quick. Like every word is coming to her. She's describing it, like everything from the smell. Like, and people were like shouting her out, being like, yo, give this girl a raise. She was on it. It was awesome. You should look it up.
Oh, I didn't watch it. I didn't see that.
She's a really good one. I don't know her name, but shout out to you, homegirl. You crushed that one. Anyways, shout out every news reporter out there.
I was so, cause do you, well, I'm like a really big news like nerd. Like I love like, oh, I love a good blooper. Like I love all that stuff. And the other day I was driving to Fresno and, I was about to be on TV in Fresno. And they, and so one of the reporters texted me and she was like, we might not go live because I think like National's going to take over or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And so I was like, okay. I was like, why? And they're like, oh, because I think they had a verdict. I was like, I didn't even know there was a trial. and so I was like, oh my gosh, okay. And so, and then I thought, like, I was like, oh my God, I got to go on YouTube because National's going to take over. And when National takes over, that's when Lester comes out.
Uh-oh. That's here when, come like, Lester.
He doesn't even go, and they don't even go live till 3, but it's like 1:20 p.m. and they're like, Lester, get in here.
Yeah.
That's when it's like, that's when it's like, and then I click on, I go on YouTube, I pulled over with my friend, and I go on, and I'll, and you know it's like breaking news, because usually it's like the blue NBC nightly news, whatever. But when it's good, it's that red graphic. Dun, dun, dun. This is a special report. NBC. And then that pull in, that zoom in, and it's Lester and Savannah.
Oh, stop.
Nah, because you got PM anchor and AM in the same room.
The world's
put
ending.
It on. I don't care what's. End it. End it. The big one is happening right now. I'm like, throw Al Roker in there. Ya de una vez. Bro, I love a breaking news story, like a big one.
Oh, I think you'll appreciate this. Okay, I'm still on news. Sorry, we're here. I think we found our love, our mutual love for news reporters and news stories. So recently, a Bay Area news reporter announced that she was retiring after like 27 years or something like that. And so they posted in the Instagram. You better believe I was in that comment section being like, thank you for serving your community well, full on giving her all her flowers, like, we're going to miss you. I love a good, like, a legacy journalist, somebody who's been on that desk for years. Dennis Richman, he's Bay Area. He retired a long time ago, but I remember him. Elaine Corral, she retired a long time ago. Like, back in the 90s, she retired, and I still know her name, like, by heart.
No, I love when they're, like, when they show 30, 40 years of them when the screen just got wider because it was like at 4x4. The microphone was like all like tiny little stuff. Oh, I love that. And then they're right there and then everybody's like doing like that. And they would give the shirt off. No, they wouldn't. No, No, they wouldn't.
They would maybe buy you one. That's me. If I die, don't tell people I'll give you the shirt off my back, but tell them I will buy them one. Because I hold on to my shirts for a long time. I've had them for like 7 years. I'm like, this is my favorite shirt. I'm not going to give you my favorite one. But come on, I'll go to Target real quick and buy you one.
No, I always think about that because I'm like, so everybody was just a good person when they died? No, they weren't. No, because when my friend died a few years ago, and then one of our other friends, like, he would have given his shirt. I'm like, I miss him. But let's not go making things up. Yeah. No, he wouldn't have. Nah, he was a little greedy. I do miss him, though.
Okay. Shout out. R.I.P. R.I.P. homeboy. Okay, before we move into our gratitudes, I have one question real quick about your social media videos that you do on TikTok and Instagram that are so hilarious, so real, relatable, and like so human. That's like my favorite part, is that you can identify and observe something that's such a human mannerism, characteristic, an instinct, an intonation and in way you pronounce things. Like, there's something so human about what you do, and I think that's what really connects with people, even if they can't articulate, like, oh, he's so funny. But he's so funny because he's literally holding up a mirror to you, and you're seeing exactly yourself, and you're like, no way, how are you doing this? Like, that, there's something that's hilarious, and then it's that, like, magic click of, like, whoa, you're doing this so well. Is there a video of yours that... One, two questions. You were surprised at how viral it went? And is there a video of yours that almost pisses you off that it didn't do as well as you thought?
Oh, yeah. Let's get into it.
Yeah.
First of all, everything you said, I'm going to put that on my resume. That was so nice. Thank you. No, you know, it's always the ones, what I've seen is a bunch of the ones that I really were like, I consider some videos, like one of the videos I posted yesterday, I consider a throwaway. It's just like, just a filler.
Okay.
It's just because rants do.
Yeah.
but there's like, I don't think it's super funny. I just need something to go. Uh-huh. And
someone
like,
will think it's funny.
Like, yeah. And then, and I know that like Instagram and TikTok are like, post something, you know, it's like, and so like, I'm just, you know, and so, but there's other ones that like, that I did not think were that brilliant, but they were just like an idea, and then I post it and it like did so well, and it was so surprising. So I did one recently that was like the friend who just learned new words.
Yes.
And I wrote that like 8 months ago.
Wow.
And I sat on it and it kept like, I have a doc, you may have knocked her. And it was just like, it's just like a bunch of skits, and I kept like pushing it down because I was like, I don't think it's funny. Like, I don't think it's funny. And then I got so desperate one day, and I was with my friend. We're not talking right now, but nah, just kidding. Imagine I just start, just like in the pieces. I really miss you.
I'm sorry.
It was half true. So we went out and we just started filming it, and I was like, let's just make it a minute because like TikTok only pays if it's a minute.
Yeah.
And you know,
yeah,
Brando's have been slow, and I'm available and SAG, and so we did it, and then it took off a lot, and now it's like
the dichotomy of it all
that has been like, I can't get away from it.
I love it.
I can't get away from it. No, I love it though. And that's one of the ones that is so surprising because I was like, wow. I don't think it's that funny. And then people responded well. But then there's other ones that I spend like 2-3 hours crafting, and I won't forgive people for not letting those like take over.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, you're just not ready for me then.
Because
that was comedy.
Yeah.
That was comedy. But then I'll get some DMs from people that, like, say things, like, in a paragraph, like, that was so intelligent, like, comedic, whatever. And then I'll be like, thank you. Thank you for getting it, understanding it. Because that was, and then I'm like, everyone else is dumb then. Yeah. Everyone else, that you must be. No, but yeah, and I don't know. I think like the best one that I felt the most proud of was one where I was like I was with a friend, and we were watching Comedy Central roast, and then I was like, roast me, and he's like, no, I don't want to, and I'm like, roast me, come on, bro, let's just do it. And he's like, no. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, bro, just wrote, you know, in the spirit. Uh-huh. And he's like, you fat, that's why your dad left, whatever. And then it cuts to me, and I have tears in my eyes. And I'm like, see, that wasn't so hard. Like, that wasn't like, And that's my favorite.
Yeah.
Because I was like,
yeah.
checked off multiple boxes. I felt good about that one.
That's good. So good. I'm so proud of you, man.
Oh, thank you.
No, seriously. Like, we're going to get into our gratitudes right now, but I just want to say I am so proud of you for how hard you work, how funny you are. That's like your natural gift, but then you have to work hard to actually write your sketches, film them, yeah. put them out, market yourself. Like, you've come a long way from your small town that you grew up in. And I remember reaching out to you on the gram, and I was like, hey, come to my book release party. Like, I didn't even know you yet. I just knew I was such a fan, and you were so funny. I was like, hey, come to my book release party. I want to know you. I want to be connected to you. And I'm really proud of what you're doing and the work that you're doing. You're a good dude. Good things happen to good people. And when we see that happen, that always is like, yes, good guy wins. Let's have more of that, please. But our gratitudes.
Yeah.
This is how we do it on this podcast. The whole theory behind gratitude and practicing it is you can think of something that you're grateful, and that will already like lift your mood just by thinking on those things that are good. Like, it's even in the Bible. They talk about think on those things that are pure, that are good, that are beautiful, that are lovely, whatever that one scripture is. I don't know. But it's like in the Bible. It's in, you know, whatever New Age, whatever. It's in all different thoughts and theories that gratitude is actually powerful when you think about good things. Like, it can change you from the inside out. But we take it a step further and we say it out loud, because when you say it out loud, then you hear yourself saying what you're grateful for. So it's like a big circle. This gratitude, you felt it in your body, you thought about it, and then you said it. And it went out into the universe, and then it came back into your ears, and it came back into your body. And it's like this big circle of gratitude just filling you back up, lifting you back up, raising your vibration. And so that's the theory behind why we say what we're grateful for out loud. And so I would love to know, what are some things that you are grateful for in your life?
This is where the five starts?
Yeah.
The five of
them? Yeah, yeah. We could do five. We could do, if we land on one for the rest of the day, we land on one. But we could do five. We could do 77, whatever you want.
Don't tell me that. I don't know when my laugh turned into that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know when.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it was different before, and then it went, like, what the? What happened? Are you good? I'm very grateful, and let me know if I'm yapping too much, if I go into another thing. But I think what I've been realizing lately, that I have small moments where I find myself kind of like checking in.
Mm-hmm.
And you, I'm sure you have felt this, I don't know if now or still or in the beginning or something, but, you know, I've only been doing this for like 4 years-ish, and since it happened so fast, I feel like I became pretty numb, like 2 years ago.
Okay.
You know, because it was just like, oh, nice, you like you did this really huge thing that you didn't expect to do when you were in Hanford, and you didn't expect, and you know, and not to make it weird, but like, even like your message was such one of those things that made me even more numb, because it was like, that's Angela Johnson. like what do you think you are? I'm like, shout out to the book.
When you say numb, what do you mean?
Like, numb, like, I like this isn't real. Like, I don't feel anything because, like, this can't be true.
Okay.
Like, imposter syndrome.
Yeah, but even beyond, like, imposter syndrome feels like a even like a early stage of, like, what it became.
Okay.
Because then it just was like, okay, cool, like, I'm going to go do this thing with this person who I idolized for my childhood, and then I'm gonna like go to New York and go host this, and it's like, what the heck, like, that's so, you know, And so I feel like I've recently come to a place where even a few nights ago, when I drove back home from out of town, I like went inside and I was like, oh my gosh, I have an apartment. Like, that's so weird. Mm-hmm. Like, I have my own apartment.
Yeah.
And like, I have AC on.
Yeah.
And like my car, like I have gas because I think like it's so different than being a kid. When I was a kid, like, we had no home for several years. Mm. Everything was super hard. I remember like with my mom, like one time, like I like lost the ABT card and my mom was crying for hours. Oh. And I think about that sometimes when I'm here and I'm like, bro, like I, like, this is so different. This is so weird. And so I have random little moments where I think about that and think like, oh my gosh, like that is such a big deal. And unexpected, because I think, you know, when you are sort of conditioned in some type of way, mm-hmm. you do start to think that something like that, that maybe feels like the minimum, is like still out of reach. So I feel grateful to be in a safe home, mm-hmm. With gas and with AC, because I didn't think that was even gonna happen.
Yeah. Yeah. That, do you feel like your numbness that you feel has anything to do with growing up feeling like this wasn't for us? We didn't deserve this, or that's for people with money who know what they're doing. That's for people who have education. That's for them. That's not for us. And then when you step into that life, it's like, we don't know what to do with it. And so it's like, either we're waiting for it to end. We're waiting for like,
right,
the season's done. Well, this was just a little phase. So,
and it's always like that.
Yeah.
I'm always like, all right, cool. I got another brand deal. After this, I think we're good.
After this, they're done with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because I also think a lot about the pandemic and how much that kind of created a stage for me and a lot of my friends, where I think like, well, like, kind of back to normal. I don't think they need me anymore. Like, they're back out.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, it was like they were at home and they were like, they were forced to just be on their phones.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I do feel a lot of that. And I think like, I mean, cause I was such a scared kid. Like, I never thought I was gonna have a driver's license. Like, I was like, I'm like, I don't think I can ever drive like that. I'm not doing that.
Mm.
So I was super scared of everything. And so I think for me, it was like, I can never. And then, you know, in Hanford, in the Bay Area, like, people are like, LA is so far.
Yeah.
Like, that's so far.
Yeah. It's another world.
Yeah, and then it's like,
be careful.
Yeah. There's so many people there that want to do the same thing. So mm-hmm. like, what's going to set you apart?
Right.
What's gonna, and we already had this conversation before about your own experiences and what does literally set you apart. But as a kid, you don't know that.
Right.
Or believe it. And so I think that was such a big thing. So then when things do start kind of moving and shifting, it's like it's hard to catch up to it. I think that's kind of where like the numb really comes in, because like, I didn't even prepare for this. And then you like jump in and I think what I try to convince myself sometimes, because I've had so many cool things happen, is that it's like, when you do, you know, when you do a video with Jane Fonda, you have to think to yourself, I have to remind myself, like, that's the same Jane Fonda that you were watching 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a new one. Like, it's the same one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, like, helps me to, like, believe it and to be like, okay, this is happening and
this is real.
Yeah.
So it's like, so you're grateful for all that you have in your life right now, from the things that we typically take for granted. Gas in our car, the AC works, we have an apartment, we're able to pay our rent, especially coming from a childhood where you didn't have any of those things. And then it sounds like you just need to settle into who you are and the life that you have and own it because it's yours and there's no one like you. Like with everybody, even listening, there's only one you. There's no duplicate. Even if you're a twin, even if you're a triplet, there's no duplicate of you. You have your own point of view, your own perspective. You have your own trauma. You have your own, I fell off my bike when I was 3 years old and it scarred me like this. You have your own, I was abused. You have your own, I won first place at the blah, blah, blah. And all these things that make you who you are, give you your own point of view, your own perspective. And when we tune into that and we own it, then it's like you start walking in a different power, in a different authority, in a different sense of self. And I think I know exactly what you're talking about when it's like you feel numb. Because for me, it comes back to the imposter syndrome. It comes back to when is this all going to end? People aren't going to want to buy my tickets anymore. Like after this tour, this was a really good tour, but it's probably the last one because next year probably people don't care anymore when they could buy tickets to this guy or that girl or whoever. Why are they going to want to buy tickets to me? And then next thing you know, we do another tour. Sure enough, it sells out. And like, oh, they do still want to talk to me. When am I going to just own the fact that I'm good at what I do and I worked hard and I deserve to be right here and people do want to hear from me. People do think that I'm funny. People do think that my sketches are really creative. People do think that I deserve to be right here with Will Smith. I do deserve to be right here with Jane Fonda. Like, and I remember telling you that too at my book release party when you were saying something about you were surprised being invited and I was like, listen, just know you're right where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be here. You deserve to be here. Don't ever doubt yourself when you get invited to these situations again. No, you deserve to be right where you are. And we got to tell ourselves that.
Yeah. That book really, I was taking notes. I'm not even joking. I went with one of my friends, with Fabian. Yeah. I remember like sitting there and I was like, and I think that was like one of my first times at the improv too. And I was like, so nobody has the same life experience. And I we were like teary eyed sitting there. I was like, and no, that night was such a like rock star night too. Cause I like walk outside and like, Fabian, like he's like uncultured. And so, he like doesn't know what's going on, but he like supports me. And I walk out and I was like, that's Andy Grammer. Okay, Hollywood is going well.
Yeah.
LA is going out. Well.
It's working out.
It was so crazy.
That's good. What else? What else are you grateful for?
You know, I was thinking about this actually like two nights ago. Because I've been, I don't know what. Did you ever watch Reba?
Yes.
Oh.
Shut up. I am rewatching Reba right now. I'm already on season 4. I've been watching it start to finish. I love Reba. Go on.
Listen, if you go to my YouTube, watch stuff. What was I watching here? If you go to my homepage, literally every day, and it's YouTube. I'm not watching it like on a stream or something. Look at Reba.
No way.
I'm watching Reba so much. And Reba I never watched with my mom, but I really felt a really nice feeling like a few nights ago because I was like, I'm so grateful for watching I Love Lucy, Friends, and Everybody Loves Raymond with my mom. Because I was like, because my mom like went through a lot and is still going through a lot. But I just thought, like, this is the wrong time to invite me as a guest because I'm, like, doing a bunch of self-discovery right now. But I recently was like, maybe that's why I'm, like, trying to be funny. Because, like, gosh, like, there's nothing ever created that in the world that's ever been better than Everybody Loves Raymond in my eyes. I just thought that dynamic was so beautiful. That show is just so funny. Ray Romano's so funny.
Was it your mom's idea or your idea to watch those shows growing up?
Hers. And so, but at that time, you just think whatever, because we had like a little. You remember those not laptop, but like the DVD laptop one, and we had one of those, and we would watch. She had like the whole pack of Everybody Loves Raymond and Friends and I Love Lucy. And we would just watch the same things over and over again.
I love
it. And now when I look back at it, I'm like, and I'm finding so much comfort in Reba because there's nothing like those old sitcoms.
Yeah.
Like nothing.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Nothing that's on TV today. This was filmed
in front of a live studio audience. Love that. It's so nostalgic and it's so beautiful.
I just love, like, I grew up on I Love Lucy and Friends and Reba. Yeah. So just the fact that you're saying all these, I'm like, you get it. You get it. I would do anything for Barbara Jean. I lost my, I was,
Barbara Jean.
Oh God. There was an episode yesterday. I had to pause because I was crying laughing. All she did is she came in and I don't even remember what was having seen, but she came into Reba and she goes, I brought you a quiche. In quiche, you needed cheering up. I was crying. I had tears. I called my mom. I was like, Mom, remember this episode of Reba?
Dying. I love. And I'm the type to like go on Instagram after and be like, where are they? Where's Brock now?
Yeah.
Yes. Like, where? Chances are he lives nearby.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm so grateful for those things because I'm like, and I always think like if I ever see one of them, in person, like I hate to be like, oh, thank you, because like I didn't do it for you.
Uh-huh.
I did it for my bag.
Uh-huh.
Like
yeah.
I, you know, like, but I always there's always like if I saw everybody, like if I saw Ray Romano and I've seen him, like on, have you met him?
I haven't.
Oh, okay, like I. Imagine you're like, yeah, come on out. Imagine. Yeah. Like, how did you know?
This Ray Romano?
Yeah. I wouldn't even know how to act. There's people like him and like Conan O'Brien where I'm like, I have nothing to tell you. Like, I don't want to bother you.
Right.
I just want to, I'm just going to cry from 9 feet away.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful for them because I'm like, I know that they got, you know, that they benefited and everything, but I benefited so much, so much. And I think sometimes people like them and people like you don't, maybe you forget or something. Mm-hmm. It's like people who are really living their normal life with struggles are like watching you. And that is such a big deal.
Yeah. It's so powerful. When we take ourselves out of it, when we take our ego out of it, when we take out like, oh, this didn't get as many million views as that one, when we take out, oh, they didn't book me, they booked somebody else for this, when we take all of that out, well, oh, they told me no again, up, oh, they passed me up again, up, oh, sorry, not this time, oh, we went in a different direction, when we take all of that out of it and we remember those DMs that we get from people that are just like, you got me through chemotherapy, you got me through my mom's death. Those are like real human moments that actually matter. You know what I mean? And reminds us of why we do what we do. And bringing it back to when I asked if it was your idea or your mom's idea to watch those shows, it kind of reminds me and shows me like how, not to get too like spiritual or whatever, but how God knows exactly what we need on our journey and how to plant seeds and water those seeds and grow, because you didn't learn how to be funny by watching those shows. You have a gift within you that's a natural gift that you can't teach that. That is just within you that God gave you. And it just so happens that God knew exactly what we needed, and he puts it on your mom's heart to love these shows, to love these comedy shows. And she has no idea that she is feeding her son exactly what he needs.
Angela, stop.
For his career in the future.
Gosh. I'm crying.
She has no idea, but
she's
just doing something that she loves that God put on her heart. Like, oh yes, loving this, loving that. And then here she is sharing this with you, having no idea that it's just, that's your Popeye spinach. That's your everything that you need to strengthen you and your gift that's already in you. But she's strengthening it and feeding it to you. That's really special.
You didn't have to yell. No, yeah. Yeah, that's so good.
What else? What else are you grateful for?
Wow. Johnson. You know, I'm grateful when I decided to come to LA, I was super super scared because I was like, I don't know anybody there. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's gonna be so scary. But I'm grateful for the community that I have here, that that I've been able to like really, really like hang out with.
How'd you find them?
Just going Craigslist. Going imagine just moved here. I went to like the night market and I met like this lady Elizabeth who has like this son and a boyfriend and they have a booth there and like was bringing people there. We became friends, like we hang out often. I met people who like were creators before or are creators now and their families, and so I love that in such a big place that I'm able to go to like different parts of LA and know that I have people there.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful for community.
Community is so powerful. It's so beautiful. Community is definitely something that's always on my gratitude list and something that's very important to me. And when we first decided that we were going to move to Nashville, the only reason why it was an option for me is because I knew I had community there, because we had been spending so much time there over the years and been touring out of there. We had so many friends living there. And that's the only reason why it was even an option, is because I knew I had some community there, because it's so important. I remember early on in my touring days when I would come home and I'd be busy. It was like the only days that I had off was really Tuesday, like because I would fly home Monday after a long weekend. I had Tuesday to do my laundry, repack my suitcase, and we'd fly out Wednesday because we had to be there for Thursday morning press for the Thursday night shows, Friday night shows, Saturday night shows, Sunday night shows. Then we'd do it again, fly home Monday, have Tuesday off, and then fly out again Wednesday. We'd do over and over to all these different cities. And I remember when I would land and I would get home, I would drive to my friend Maya's house. She lives in Burbank. And I would drive to her house and I would just come and like lay on her floor in the living room, play with her kids. They would be eating dinner and I would just eat some of their leftovers. Like it wasn't anything that was like, I need to make a reservation for. It was just come over and be at home, be at peace, mm-hmm. be safe, be in real life. You're not a star here. You're not, people aren't giving you a standing ovation when you leave after here. You're just a regular girl who's auntie to these two beautiful kids, who's just going to eat some leftovers that are probably about to expire if you don't eat them today. You know what I mean? Like, we're just real life community. And that was like my anchor when I would come back from the road, was my community here in LA. So I definitely understand being grateful for community. Yeah. Do you have any other gratefuls you want to share with us?
We'll keep going. we'll yeah. That's wrong. stretch. I'm it's really cool. My dad lives in Mexico, and he comes to my hometown in California every once in a while, and I'm grateful that him and my mom hang out now.
Oh, that they get along.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's really nice. That was a little later than I wanted. but it's so cool. I think that, you know, one thing that happens through sickness sometimes that I've learned through that watching them is that sometimes you get so sick, you get too sick to fight.
Mm.
And you're just like, we're just here. Like, why? Like, what are we fighting for anymore?
Mm.
And so I think that I feel grateful. I feel grateful that they can get along now, and that they're friends, and that they can be cool. And I'm grateful that they have that they finally get a chance to not be I think that for a long time, you know, my mom was a foster child, and my dad always felt like his other siblings who I never met, like they were, I always heard of how cool things were for them, mm-hmm. and I always thought like I was like man, I feel like we're just like the weak branch, you know, and I'm an only child, and so much pressure from oh my gosh, like. All right, we're just done here. Yeah. I was like, as a kid, I'm like, I'm not even gonna get a license, bro. Like, oh my gosh, like this is like, who did? And I'm grateful that now it doesn't feel like that. Yeah. Like now it's like, we have a shot at this now. Yeah. Like we now are like, we're not the best or anything, and I don't want to be, but it's like, oh, that's cool. Like we get to go to the same table now.
Good.
So I'm grateful for that.
That's amazing. You know. Peace.
Yeah.
It's good. Feels good to have peace.
One more.
Yeah. One more. Give us more.
One more. This is one that I felt when I was in, when I was still living in Hanford. And I remember like this was the first time that I ever felt that way, but I remember. Like being in the car, and this was during the time that my friend, who I brought up earlier, he was killed one day. He was walking home from work, and it was like at the same time that my mom was in a coma from her strokes.
Wow.
And he had been with me visiting her.
Wow.
And then one day he was taken. And I remember I was like driving to school one day. And I just was like weeping on the road, like just scream crying. Mm. And I was like the first time and probably the only time, I don't think I've done it since then, that I remember just saying out loud, like, God, thank you for this suffering. Like, thank you. This is horrible. Mm. Like, thank you. Because I don't know what this is for.
Mm.
I don't know what I'm supposed to take. I don't know what I'm supposed to take from this or learn or anything. But maybe this is necessary.
Uh-huh.
And that was while I was thinking that my life was going in a whole other direction. None of this mm-hmm. was ever like in my imagination. And so now I'm grateful because I look back and think like, I think you understand this now when someone comes up to you or sends you a deep paragraph about how you got them through something, mm-hmm. you're able to think like, it's not just a small note. It's not just like a thank you. Cool. Uh-huh. Awesome. It's like, no, like, we didn't suffer the same, but gosh, like, mm-hmm. the suffering happened and is going to happen again. Mm-hmm. And so thank you for trusting me and watching me and my goofy video because it completely changed my life.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm just grateful.
That is wild to be able to, in the midst of suffering, be grateful for the suffering, because usually that is something that time has to go by first, and then you look back and you go, you know what, I'm grateful that this bad thing happened because of this. And a lot of times people can't even get there, or maybe they can for this certain thing but not that certain thing. They're not grateful for that yet, you know what I mean? But to be in the midst of suffering and have an inclination to be grateful for it, and not even fully understanding why, but feeling that, like, that's definitely a God moment. That's definitely something supernatural that's happening in that. And Jensen Chero is an author of a book called You Are a Badass. And that's actually the book that taught me the power of gratitude. And she talks about in that book being grateful even in those bad things that happen, like you're driving home and you get a flat tire, like, well, what's to be grateful about this? Well, in that moment, I got to play, you know, 50 questions with my kids, and we got to have a bonding moment, and we wouldn't have had this moment. We were just go, 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 then go home, homework, dinner, blah, 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 blah. But here we are sitting on the side of the road with our flat tire and waiting for the tow truck or whatever, and we're playing a game and we're bonding and connecting. It's like finding whatever that you can be grateful for in that moment. And even in that moment, like, I don't know what to be grateful for in this. I don't know what this is going to teach me. I don't know what I'm supposed to get from this. I don't know. But having gratitude in your spirit is definitely a higher power, God, Holy Spirit type thing to tap into, because that is hard. That is wild to be able to do that.
I feel it was like the only option, because it was like, yeah, there's nowhere else to go. Mm. There's literally nothing else to say or do. Like, wow. Everything's been exhausted, you know?
Wowza.
And then you start to believe it. You start to really, like,
yeah,
accept it.
Wow. Okay. These are some really good gratefuls. I'm so happy about this conversation that we've had here. I love it. We just raise our vibration, even though we, like, ended on a little bit of a sad note. Thank you for that.
No. Yeah. No, I was going to, and just feel free to invoice me for the, yeah. I have Blue Shield, I think. Yeah. Yeah. I
think so. So we put out a phone number on this podcast, and it's a voicemail for anybody who's listening and wants to call in and share what they're grateful for in their lives. And we actually have one that we're going to play from a listener. Before we do, Danielle, why don't you tell everybody what the phone number is in case anybody else wants to call?
Yes, if you want to call in for a voicemail, it's 747-300-5380. Once again, that's 747-300-5380.
I just saw a meme recently that was like, you know you're a millennial if you repeat a phone number when you leave it.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it.
And I totally do that. And, like, I hate that now when I see those memes that, you know, you're millennial if this, and it's something like bad or whatever, then I start, like, noticing when I do it. And, okay, this is before we get to that voicemail really quick, my one last thing. So recently I saw one that was like, you know, you're millennial if when somebody gives you a compliment on what you're wearing, you tell them where you got it from. And I absolutely do that. And the other day, this woman in the elevator gave me a compliment on my dress, and I purposely didn't tell her where I got it from, even though that was my instinct. I just said, oh, thank you. And I was so mad at myself for giving into Gen Z that I was like, dumb, like, tell the lady where you got it from. It's Amazon and it's very cheap. You could have given it to her.
Right. Because I feel like Gen Z, they joke, they're like, they're the, what is it called? Gatekeeping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like millennials were like, no, let me tell you everything, because yeah, we lived in the time where you had no internet, yeah, and couldn't. You did, because I did the same thing. I walked in and I said, oh my God, cute dress. And you said, cute outfit to me. And I immediately went, Old Navy.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even say thank you. Yeah. I just immediately, yeah, said the store.
That is our thank you, yeah, is telling you where we got it from. Exactly. Like, oh my God, I love that. Mervin's. That's growing up.
Mervin's.
Mervin's. Yeah, yeah. Remember Mervin's?
Anchor Blue. Anchor
Blue. Amazing. Okay, so let's listen to a grateful from one of our listeners.
Hi, Angela. This is so awesome. I am grateful for many things, but this year I'm grateful to have a new grandbaby on the way, and I turned 60 and fabulous, and I get to spend a month and a half in Key Largo in my RV, in our RV, with my beloved fiance, Tony, which has made this dream come true. And I am ecstatic and grateful. Thank you. Have a beautiful day. God bless your girl. She's gorgeous. And God bless your beautiful family.
I love that. A month in the RV. We did a road trip on an RV. Ours was 2 weeks, I think. So fun. Oh, my gosh. We had the best time. We went all the way up the coast and back down. Best trip ever. So whoever you were calling in, thank you for listening. And have so much fun on your RV trip. That's going to be amazing. And yeah, thank you for calling in. Those are some good.
Congratulations, that wedding and everything.
What, a baby. She had a grandson wedding. Coming. A wedding?
Doesn't she have a fiance?
Oh, she's got a wedding. Because
she has a fiance.
Yeah, she said her and her fiance, Tony, are going to spend a month.
And you did the math and you said, so that means there's a wedding. So
there must be a wedding.
Yeah.
That is.
Okay.
I get it. I thought.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Congratulations. Whenever the date is set, we're so happy for you. So yeah, call in if you want to tell us what you're grateful for. And I am grateful for you, Leo, coming over here to Mikasa to be on my podcast, Fungula, and tell everybody what you're grateful for. And I love that we shared the same attitude of just like fake news reporter actors. Just don't.
Yeah.
Just stop. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. And I'm glad that I was able to get in to your home. I 12 securities is a bit much to get here.
Listen, I don't know if you know about me, but
I looked at I saw like the helicopter flying. I was like, let me go back on her Wikipedia. Like,
let me tell you, I had 347 likes on my last video. Listen, have you seen the views on my podcast page? 64.
Oh, nice.
So
nice.
Now you see the 12 security guards.
Yeah.
There's purpose in everything. Okay?
Very, very warranted.
People are coming for me. Thank you so much. I love you. You're the best. I wish you all the best. You're just going to keep crushing it and crushing it. And I'm so proud of you. I love you.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you for joining us here on Fungalot. It has been another stellar episode of the podcast. Thank you so much, Leo, for joining us. And anything else?
And
say?
If you have any voicemails that you'd like to leave, what was the phone number to give?
Absolutely. That was 747-300-5380.
We'll catch you here on another edition of Fungalot. Take good care of yourselves and each other.
This is me doing the papers, shuffling the papers.
And that's commercial.
We're doing like the fake talk.
Oh, yeah.